Sunday, the 5th of May, should theoretically be a day of celebration for many Palestinians, specifically Palestinian Christians of the Orthodox churches, as today, for them, is Easter. However, amid the genocide, there is no reason for celebration. But it does raise the question for many people who are unfamiliar with our community of Christians in Palestine. Who are Palestinian Christians? Today, I'm joined by one of our writers for our Instagram page, Yasmina. So I guess the one place to start really is to ask the question, are there Christians in Palestine in the first place?
That's why, for example, I would say the Bible for us is not just imaginary stories that exist in a sacred book that was written 2,500 years ago. It's a tangible book for us because the place is mentioned in the Bible, the miracles mentioned in the Bible, Jesus. Everything that's mentioned in the Bible is connected to us and to our land and to our history and to the places that we know. For example, for me, like Bethlehem is a place I grew up in. It's not just a city mentioned in a sacred book somewhere. It's the city where I grew up. And that's the case for us as Palestinian Christians. The Bible for us is very tangible. It's very reachable. It's very connected. I would actually, like, for example, when we want to talk about a place that is very old, we say that Jesus had breakfast here. Like, we are very connected to the Bible. We are connected to Jesus. And we feel that Jesus is actually one of us. He's our neighbor. Like, he's the person that is always there. His presence is always felt in the city, everywhere, because he was there.
And I think, well, because it goes back so far, something that needs to also be mentioned is, I guess, the diversity of the Palestinian Christian community. It's not just because, well, in the West, it's large areas are concentrated with either Catholics or Protestants or evangelicals in the US, but in Palestine, and especially with how occupied Palestine has been throughout history, there's a massive diversity of Christians. Hence, we're doing this episode on Orthodox Easter, which for a lot of people is not something which they'll have heard of probably.
Well, yes, because there are many Palestinian who are Palestinian Christians who are Greek Orthodox. I'm one of them, for example. I'll be celebrating Easter in a couple of days. Well, the Palestinian Christians in Palestine right now are belong to 13 church that is actually well established within the land. We are talking about 5 Orthodox churches. Greek Orthodox, Armenians, Coptics, Assyrians, Ethiopians, and 6 Catholic ones, Latin Catholic, Roman Catholic, Maronites, Armenians, Assyrians, and Chaldeans. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correct. And 2 Protestants, Anglicans and Lutheran. So basically, most of the Palestinian Christians do belong to the Greek Orthodox Church, which with a percent of over 40%, and around 35% belong to the Catholic Latin Church, and Roman Catholics are around like a bit less than 10%, and the Protestants, the Anglican and Lutherans are around 8%, and the rest are around 5%. So basically, the information I'm giving is not my information. This is a resource collected and edited by Reverend Dr. Munzer Ishaq. It's a book on an introduction into Palestinian theology. And it was issued in 2017. That's where you can find the information.
I mean, yeah, I have to admit that before I went to Palestine the first time, and having grown up in the West, I really thought that every Easter and Christmas celebration was just on the same day. I'd had no idea how diverse everything is and how, well, it's all because of the different calendars that people, that the different denominations of Christianity use. And so when I went the first time, I remember it was around January, and for me, Christmas would have been done, but then everybody in Bethlehem where I was like, no, Christmas is still going.
Oh, yes. I guess if I'm not wrong, like until the 18th of January, the Armenians celebrate their Christmas. So exactly. For the whole month of December and of January, usually not during war and genocide times, but usually Bethlehem would be celebrating Christmas for over a month, and it will be in a celebratory mood usually. But obviously not this year with the genocide that's going on in Gaza.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's maybe just touch a bit on the proportion of Palestinian Christians that exist in Palestine today, and then maybe we'll go back a bit into the history and how it has changed, because it has changed a lot. How significant is the, or how prevalent is the Christian population today?
Well, we can say that we are a minority, but many Palestinian Christians don't like that term, because we know our presence, although our existence in numbers is very slim, and I will go through the numbers shortly, but we feel that our presence is visible and tangible, and we are there. You can see our presence, you can feel our presence. So in terms of numbers, there are around 500,000 Palestinian Christians that are around the world, Palestinian Christians. And basically, these numbers have been declining, of course, due to the political atmosphere, due to the Israeli occupation, colonization, and apartheid, and also even during the British mandate. So, for example, at the beginning of the last century, Palestinians were around 70,000, and they were 10% of the population of historical Palestine. And by the end of the British mandate, they were around 100,043. They were 7%. Now we are in around 2% in total of historical Palestine. You can see that the numbers are declining rapidly, and we cannot actually detach that from the current challenges and political reality of the ongoing Israeli colonization.
Yeah, and just on the point of the mandate, I just want to bring in a personal account, because that's exactly when my family had to flee Palestine, basically, and also Syria. I have a Syrian heritage as well. And we don't know too much of our own history, because it was quite a long time ago. But from what we do know, it was economic hardships at the time that colonialism brought, really. And I mean, later on, we saw during subsequent Palestinian uprisings against the British and, well, presumably also Syrian and Lebanese against the French. We saw the barbarity that they treated Palestinians with. I mean, it was no secret at the time that they preferred the Zionist cause over Palestinian liberation and Palestinian freedom, a Palestinian state. And so this led to a mass exodus of many Christians around.
Well, yes, I have a huge portion of my family, and like there are so many Palestinian Christians from Beit Sahour and Beit Jala who are currently reside in Chile. So Chile, I think, I'm not sure about the numbers, but I think there are like hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who are there.
Yes.
And most of them come from Palestinian Christian, majorly Christian cities like Beit Sahour and Beit Jala. So yes, that was also part, like that also happened a bit after or during the British mandate. So it is really all connected.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. The majority, as you said, of Palestinian Christians now reside outside of Palestine. And that all comes from originally that mass emigration, that mass exodus of Palestinian Christians from the Holy Land under Western colonialism. But then from Western colonialism, we got towards the Nakba, when the Israelis then decided to begin colonizing Palestinian land, or it had already begun before, but that was the official beginning. I guess a question that a lot of people ask is, did the Zionists spare Christians? Was it a religious conflict, or was it more of an identity?
Well, you wouldn't, like, if a bomb is falling somewhere, it wouldn't ask you if you're Christian or not. If a soldier is shooting randomly at people, he would not ask you if you're Christian. So basically, our identity as Palestinian Christians is not separated. Like, we are Palestinians and Christians. Our religion is part of our identity, but it's not all of it. And we are Palestinians, just like every other Palestinian Muslim, our brothers and sisters. We are sharing the land, and we share the hardships, and we are together living under within this apartheid regime, under the Israeli colonization and occupation of the land. So basically, our identity as Christians does not spare us. Like, tomorrow, I'm bracing myself, because usually during the celebrations for Sabt al-Nur, as we say in Arabic, the Saturday of the Light, there are always there is always repression for Palestinian Christians who are trying to approach the old city in Jerusalem to the church to pray and to celebrate Easter. We've seen these images every year. We see this footage from Jerusalem during Easter time. And this doesn't only happen to Christians. We also see in Ramadan what happens with our Muslim brothers and sisters when they are trying to approach Jerusalem also to pray. So our identity as Christians does not give us any kind of privilege. And I would go as farther and say that it gives us more of a responsibility to, well, maybe we can go through that farther, like when we are talking about liberation. But for me, being a Palestinian Christian is all about responsibility, because we are witnessing how our own Bible is being used as a weapon, as a justification for colonizing our land and for murdering our people. So for me, it's a responsibility to stand up and to decolonize theology from these theologies that are actually allowing or legitimizing the colonization of the land under the name of God. So I'll go through that later, but I just got carried away.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just to now touch on the Nakba quickly, just the numbers exactly, because we've spoken a bit about how the numbers have declined over the time, but specifically to do with the Nakba, we saw, well, in the mandatory period, we saw an increase in the Palestinian population. We have around 150,000 Christians just before the Nakba began. And then of that 150,000, around half of them were expelled. Just to further illustrate that point, that the Nakba did not spare Christians. It wasn't a Christian, it wasn't a Jewish versus Christian versus Muslim divide. It has never been that. It has always been about colonialism, basically. It's always been a colonization of Palestinian land for this Zionist project. And well, one interesting point to add on to that, though, is the case of Nazareth, because a lot of people, well, to a lot of people, Nazareth is rings a bell in their head due to its Christian significance. And it's actually one of the only cities today in occupied Palestine, 48 lands, what many people believe to be Israel. And that's a city that one of the only cities that remain that are predominantly Palestinian. And this city still has a significant population of Christian. It's where the majority of Palestinian Christians live, inside of 48 lands. And the only reason it is there basically with Palestinian Christians is because of the resistance that existed around Nazareth at the time during the Nakba. There was a lot of fighting existing around, to the point that the Zionists believed that maybe the best thing was just to agree a truce and just to let one city exist, basically. However, once this truce came to play, the Israelis decided, or many Israelis wanted to renege on that truce. But in the end, the soon-to-be Prime Minister, David Ben-Gurion, he decided that it wasn't worth ethnically cleansing it because of the potential outcry that it could have caused in the Christian world.
No, I wanted to say that. Well, I wish we are seeing the cry of the Christian world today, or what we have been witnessing from the Christian world today is disappointing to say the least. But we can go through that later if you want. But
that's what I was about to go on to now. Really, okay. I wanted to speak about how Palestinian Christians exist today, and I mean, you've touched a bit on it already. The fact we have different religions, Muslim Palestinians and Christian Palestinians. But at the end of the day, it is the same occupation that Palestinians living in Palestine face, and ultimately the same genocide, because there are also Christians in Gaza.
So yes, we are part of this land. We are rooted in this land, and we have been part of the struggle for liberation we have been part of the struggle for liberation, just as our Muslim brothers and sisters. Like, I don't want to list what we have done, or our achievements, quote unquote, to show that we actually belong to the land, because we do, and we don't need to provide any proof to anyone to show that we actually belong to the land, and we've been there since the time of Jesus. So it's not about a checklist that we need to prove that we are actually Palestinians. We are Palestinians. It doesn't need any kind of proof, basically, and we are part and parcel of the Palestinian community. And
I guess one thing that a lot of people sometimes misinterpret as well, even though they see Palestine and Israel being a Jewish versus Muslim, or Jewish versus Muslim and Christian thing, a lot of people sometimes misinterpret that even within Palestine, that Christians and Muslims Or people generalize often that within the Middle East, or and maybe specifically Palestine, that because it is a majority Muslim population, that Christians therefore suffer under Muslims and not under the Zionist occupation.
Oh, well, yes, we get that a lot. We get that a lot. We are always asked how we coexist, quote unquote. But it's not about coexistence. We actually live together. It's a community. And our religion does not define our relationships within our community because we have respect for each other. And it's not about coexistence. Like, we live together. It's a community. It's a Palestinian community. And in fact, we are very tight-knit. We are very close to each other. And we are supported by our Muslim brothers and sisters. We are appreciated. And our presence in the land is not detached from the presence of our Muslim brothers and sisters. We are a tight-knit community. So it's not about coexistence or about living under Islamic rule, because it's not such a thing in Palestine. We are basically living together. Yeah, there might be some sensitivities here and there, minor sensitivities that happen within every community, but it's not, we are not persecuted, if that's the question. We are not, of course, we're not at all. Of course, as a Palestinian Christian, I've always felt safe within my community, apart from the Israeli colonization and occupation and all the threats that come with that. But within my Palestinian Christian and Muslim community, I've always felt safe, and that's a fact.
I mean, we've established that this is not a religious conflict. I mean, it's not a conflict anyway, but we've established that it's not a re for religious reasons. But I guess one, because we've seen how the Israelis try to use this divide and conquer strategy, they've used it since the beginning. And I'm wondering whether this exists between Christians and Muslims. Do the Israelis treat Christians better than Muslims, for example, with, I don't know, for example, more permits to Jerusalem or something like that?
Yes, I would say. Well, yes, it doesn't really extend as far as permits, as formalities that are they are trying to impose these facts on the ground, as they do with everything. But basically, we have so deep respect for each other as Christians and Muslims, that such details are insignificant, because we know, well, our Muslim brothers and sisters, they know our commitment to the land, our commitment to the cause, our commitment to the liberation of the land. And these we are aware of the divide and conquer strategy. We have seen how also inside 1948 lands, we have seen how there were many attempts to classify Palestinian Christians as, and correct me if I'm wrong or not, or if you know the information, they were trying to classify them as Armenians, as a separate community from the Palestinian community. Like, it's not Armenians, they wanted to classify them as Aramaic, because this classification was Aramaic, not Armenian, because they wanted to classify them as a different entity, because Jesus spoke Aramaic, and they wanted to make like a whole entity and separate Christians from the rest of the Palestinian community by classifying them as Aramaic. So yeah, I misused the word.
Well, wow, but that's I mean, I had no idea about that, to be honest. That's
Well,
crazy.
yeah, there was lots of campaigns in the past years, and yeah, but and like in the 15, 16, something around that. Just like they did with the Jews in the 70s, because the Jews, most of them, as far as I know as well, because I'm not a Jew, I cannot speak on their behalf, but basically, as far as I know, that they really felt a strong belonging to the Palestinian community, but through a rigorous educational system, through rigorous campaigns done by the Zionist entities, the Jews came to be separated from the Palestinian community, and many of them now serve in the army. So there were also attempts to do the same with Palestinian Christians who are living inside what we call Israel proper today, quote unquote. But basically, we are aware of the divide and conquer strategy, and I think at this time and age, we would not let that happen.
You've named the like Armenians there and Druze there and everything. It just goes to show again the religious diversity that exists within Palestine, the ethnic diversity. I mean, yeah, as I said at the beginning, many of these came to be because of different occupations, and I guess Armenians specifically because of the genocide that occurred. Many of them migrated to Palestine. And well, they've migrated to Palestine only to find themselves in another genocide. But moving on towards this final topic, I guess the crux of the episode, something that I know you wanted to speak about, and that's about the role of Christians, and I guess specifically Palestinian Christians, in the fight for liberation. What is that role specifically?
Well, basically, I would make a separation between Palestinian Christians and Western Christians or evangelical Christians to say what role do we play, because we have different roles to play. And as Palestinian Christians, well, okay, let me state at first that what's happening in Palestine, in historical Palestine, is not a religious issue. It's a 101 colonization. It's a colonization of the land that is using the Bible, our Bible, as a tool of colonization. It's weaponizing our own Bible as a tool to murder us and to perform apartheid and ethnic cleansing. So it is the colonial regime, but it's also using religion. So there is a religious dimension to the colonization. So that I wanted to state that, because I wanted to affirm that it's not a religious issue. It's not Jews against Muslims. It's not like that, because even if they were not Jews, there would still be colonization. Like, even if they were Buddhists, we would still have colonization. It doesn't, like, the religion of our colonizer does not change the fact that colonization exists. I wanted to state that at first, but as Palestinian Christians, we have been witnessing a lot how most of, I wouldn't say everyone, but because there are many supportive voices, but especially during the past 6 7 months of the ongoing genocide in Gaza, we have, as Palestinian Christians, we have been witnessing the silence of Western churches at best, and the support for the genocide at worst. And even going as far and claiming that we should all be killed as Palestinians because we do not belong there. So basically, there are so many, what we call, and they call themselves, the Christian Zionists, especially in the US. There are around like 50 million Christian Zionists that are actually supporting having all the Jews back into historical Palestine so Jesus would come back again. So we are talking about Armageddon and all of that. So basically, as Palestinian Christians, we have been, if I may make up a word, invisibilized. Really, we have been made invisible to the rest of the world, to the rest of the Christian world, because our presence as Palestinian Christians in the land actually says that we are here. We read the Bible differently, and we tell you that God stands on the side of the oppressed. God would not approve colonization.
One thing I specifically wanted to ask was based on one of the things that you've mentioned already, just a phrase that you've mentioned about how the Bible has been used as a tool to legitimize this genocide, this occupation, this colonization. What do you mean exactly by that?
So basically, as Palestinian Christians, during the past 7 decades at least, we have been witnessing the shrinking of our land, the murder of our people, the imprisonment of our family members. We have seen how the Israeli militias before 1948 started the ethnic cleansing of the land, and then later on, this Israeli state, quote unquote, started also continued with the ethnic cleansing and apartheid and colonization of the land. We have seen our culture being stolen, our food, our water resources, our land, our olive trees, our connection to the land, and even our identity threatened. So we have been witnessing how the Bible has been used as a tool to legitimize all of that. And for us as Palestinian Christians, we have always asked them, like, where is God from all of this? Why would God allow that to happen? And does God not love us? Isn't God just? So for us, this has caused us an identity issue, I would say. We've been witnessing how the Bible has been used as a tool to legitimize the ongoing colonization, and we have been asking ourselves, does God love us, or are we just an afterthought? Because Western Christians have always been telling us that we do not belong where God planted us. We do not belong in our own land. We do not belong in our ancestors' land. And for us, that actually distorted the image of God in us, the concept of God, because God is good and God is just, and God would not put us in a place, plant us in a place where we are not supposed to be. At least that is my own conviction, because God is good and God is just. So basically, there have been many loud Palestinian Christian voices throughout the past, I would say, 30 years at least, that have been talking about liberation theology or Palestinian liberation theology. And it is the kind of theology that follows the Latin American liberation theology and reads the Bible through the eyes of the oppressed, through the eyes of the marginalized, because we know that Jesus is in the side of the oppressed. Jesus was also persecuted by the Roman occupation. He was humiliated. He was tortured. And just like today, we are on Good Friday today, he died. And we are now suffering with him. We as Palestinian Christians, we see this suffering as part of our that we are carrying our own cross now. We are carrying our own cross throughout Via Dolorosa, just like Jesus. And just like Jesus, we are waiting for Sunday, because we know that liberation and resurrection is coming, because that is our belief. Our belief that as we are now suffering with Jesus, who went through the same suffering that we are going through, who was persecuted by religious and political leaders for his own, for how he stood up for the oppressed and the marginalized, for his own proclamation for the kingdom of God that is not a political scheme, that's not a political regime, but it's the kingdom of God that actually encompasses everything and everyone in God's love and peace and justice. So basically, we are following in his footsteps, and we are suffering now with him in the hope of the liberation that would come on Sunday, just like he resurrected on Sunday as well.
Wow. Well, that line of us as Palestinian Christians carrying our own cross, that will stick with me, that's for sure. That's a very hard-hitting line. But I guess as we begin to close this episode off, do you have one final message?
So now, as we are still celebrating Easter, we're celebrating Easter on Sunday, and I know that many Christians are actually supportive of us as Palestinian Christians and are supportive for the liberation of Palestine. But I would actually say that I know that you are praying for peace, and I think it's important to pray for peace. It is, but what we really need now is justice, because peace cannot be a passive peace, cannot be based on our own obedience to the powers that are trying to murder us. Peace is not just the non-existence of our free will, non-existence of our right to self-determination. Peace does not entail that we should die in silence. Dying in silence is not peace. Yeah, we cannot just watch our own people die and we call that peace, because speaking up against injustice is part of what being a Christian is. Speaking up and standing up with the oppressed and being in courtly solidarity with the oppressed is about what Christianity is. It's not about looking at if we take the example of the Good Samaritan. It's not about seeing the person in his wounds at the side of the street and saying, yeah, I'll pray for you. No, it's about going to the injured person and taking him and or taking her to take care of the person, to feed the person, to actually give genuine care and respect to the person. You cannot pray for peace for someone who is actually being murdered at that moment. You have to do something. You have to act, and to follow Jesus, to be a true follower of Jesus means that your solidarity will actually be costly. It will not be comfortable. So basically, what I wanted to say that we need prayers for justice, because what we need right now is justice and not a peace that comes on the expense of our own lives.
I couldn't have put it better myself. Well, I just want to thank you, Yasmina, for taking the time to be on the podcast today. And thank you to everyone for making it this far. And we will see you in the next episode very soon. Happy Easter to everyone celebrating.